Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I've been on for weeks now, talking about living in the balance of grace and faith. You know, this is a teaching that is just like a major point in my life. I was raised under a performance mentality, but then I had an experience with God where He showed me that I was trusting in myself and that that was totally wrong, and I repented and humbled myself and received the grace of God. Most people, they either are on one extreme or the other. They just emphasize their performance or they emphasize that it's all by grace, but very seldom do they marry these two things together. And yet Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." It's a combination of those two, not one or the other. And this has become a major, major thing. It's like you got these two truths over here, faith and grace, and they connect right here in the balance of grace and faith. You've got to have a way to connect these things. And this is just one of those things. It's like a connecting deal. It's what, you know, your elbow is what allows your arm and wrist to be joined to the rest of your body. And this is like one of those joints that keeps everything together. It has been super important in my life. And I just am praying that God is giving you supernatural revelation of this as we talk about it. So I've been talking the last few days about that the end results of all of this teaching on living in the balance of grace and faith is that it ought to let you understand that God loves you unconditionally, not because you deserve it, not because of something that you've done. And there is so much scripture on this. Let me just turn over to the book of Galatians and point out a few things. And the whole book of Galatians is written to make this point that God's love is unconditional. If you try and mix your own goodness in as a reason for God loving you and blessing you, then you defile the whole thing. It's either totally grace of God and His goodness that extends mercy and grace towards you, or it's your own goodness that procures it, but not a combination of the two. And that's what the whole book of Galatians is about. And so in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you?" Boy, there's a lot in that verse. I'm not going to spend time on it. I'll spend all day just on that one verse. But man, he's taking off the gloves. He's not taking it easy with these people. He's coming against their unbelief in this legalistic relationship with God with all the force that he has. In verse 2, he says, "This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" This is a question, and the obvious answer is it was by faith. In other words, how did you receive the Holy Spirit? Remember that this is Paul writing to the people in the area of Galatia. They were basically pagans. These weren't Jews. These were pagans. And they were, Diana of the Ephesians was in that area. And all of these things, they one time thought that Paul was a spokesperson for Jupiter and all of these things. And these were pagan people. And what did they do to deserve the love of God? Was it because they were seeking God with a pure heart? No, they were into idolatry and paganism. Diana of the Ephesians, they had over 1,000 priestesses who, what their job was when people came to the temple was to have sex with these women, and that was the way that they worshiped Diana of the Ephesians. This wasn't pure. This was sensual. It was indulging their flesh. It was terrible. And he says, how did you receive the Lord? Was it because you were so holy? Well, the obvious answer is nope. It wasn't because of any goodness on my part. It was just I heard the gospel that Jesus had died for my sins, and I received it by faith. And then in the next verse, he says, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" In other words, if this is the way you receive salvation in the first place, was just by the grace of God, you didn't earn it. You just heard the good news and you believed and received it as a gift. Are you foolish? Are you so foolish to think that you received it by grace, but now you've got to earn the blessings of God after you're born again? Boy, that question is a question that every person watching this program all over the world needs to ask yourself. You got saved by grace. You put faith in a Savior. But have you slipped back into believing that now you've got to earn the goodness of God? Are you feeling condemned that God would never move in your life and answer your prayers because you haven't been doing some standard that you've been told to do? That's foolish, is what he's saying right here. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You know, most people in the church today don't even believe in miracles. They don't have ministers that work miracles among them. That shows you how far the church has fallen from where God intended it to be. This ought to be the normal thing. He's just saying those who are ministers among you, are the miracles that they're performing because of their great goodness or because they know how to believe God and just trust God and allow God to use them? Well, the answer is that nobody is used because they deserve it. You know, I've seen people raised from the dead, my own son. And when you say something like that, people who've never heard that before, they look at you and they see me. And they hear a person that's talking in Texan. They see a person that, you know, doesn't wear fancy clothes. And they look at me and they think, I just can't believe God would do that for you because they don't see anything special. I had one person tell me, says, you are as plain as dirt. And that's about the impression that most people have of me. And most people look at me and think, how could God have done something through you? Because I didn't trust in myself. I don't have any natural talents and abilities, and there's not a lot standing between me and God. I'm not like some people who are just thrilled with who you are and how awesome you are. So it's easy for me to trust in God. And I'm not claiming that God has done miracles through me because I deserve it. It's because I trust Him. The obvious answer to this is that people who work miracles among you, they don't do it because they deserve it and have kept everything and are living such a holy life. You know, this always amazes me that when you see some of these people who have ministry gifts of healing and miracles and things like this, and they see people come out of wheelchairs and blind eyes open and deaf ears open, many people like that, not all, but many of those people also have been exposed of having major flaws. Some of them have sexual sins. Some of them get caught up in the love of money and the influence that these gifts of God give them, and they get to where they start commercializing. They steal money, manipulate people. And when something like that is exposed and people see that, then they look at everything that happened and they say, well, I thought that was God using them. But they just automatically suppose that if this person was really secretly living in sin, God couldn't use a sinner. I want you to know God hadn't got anybody else to use. I haven't stolen money from anybody. I hadn't gone out and committed adultery. I'm not doing any of these things, but you know what? God doesn't use me because I'm worthy to be used. I don't deserve God using me. He does it because I have heard the good news and I've put faith in Him and I allow Him to flow through me, not because of who I am, but because in spite of who I am. And it has made a huge difference in my life. This is the point that he's making here. And he just continues to say this over and over. Let me turn over to the 5th chapter of the book of Galatians. In verse 1, he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Again, if you were to take all of this in its context, he's saying, stand in this freedom of grace, putting faith in the goodness of God, not having to earn it by performance. Don't fall back into that legalism. And when he says, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage, he's talking about the Old Testament law. Specifically, the issue he was dealing with here in Galatians was the act of circumcision and the dietary laws and stuff like that. And he's saying, don't go back to those things. Don't be entangled with this yoke of bondage. Man, I could preach on that for a long, long time. Matter of fact, I just did. Our summer family Bible conference, I taught on all of these things. It's really powerful. And I'm going to be teaching on that on the television soon. In verse 2, he says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now, Paul himself was circumcised. You can read about that in Philippians chapter 3. And he talked about that. He was circumcised on the 8th day. And he was listing that as part of his holy acts that he had done. But then he summarized it all by saying, but it's all like dung to me. I count everything but loss so that I could put all of my faith in Jesus and be found not having my own righteousness, which is by keeping the law, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. So Paul himself was circumcised, and yet he says, if you are circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. So he's not against circumcision. What he was doing was talking about those who were trusting in some ritual, some observance, performance as earning them the favor of God. That's what he's talking about. And likewise, I'm not saying that it's wrong to live a holy life, to study the Word, to pray, to go to church. All of those things are good. We need to do those things. But if you are doing them in order to appease an angry God, then you, in a sense, are just slapping Jesus in the face and saying, your sacrifice wasn't enough. I've got to appease God. But I'm telling you that Jesus satisfied the wrath of God forever. He atoned so much that all you've got left to do is just to receive it as a gift and say thank you. And if you try and add any of your goodness to it and say, but I deserve it, and I know you'll do this for me because I'm such a good person, you diminish, you lessen, you pollute the sacrifice of Jesus if you try and minister or add anything to it. Matter of fact, this is the exact point that the Apostle Paul made in Galatians chapter 1. This is the same book. And look at what he said here. In verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Notice he uses the word grace and gospel interchangeably. If you aren't preaching the grace of God, that it's all based on what Jesus did and not based on what you do, then you aren't preaching the same gospel that the Apostle Paul preached. And I can guarantee you today that the vast majority, not all, but the vast majority of what is being proclaimed in quote-unquote Christian churches is not this gospel. It is a performance-based relationship that is all based on you being good enough and earning the favor of God, and it's not the true gospel. And that's the reason it's not releasing the power that Romans chapter 1 verse 16 talks about, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The reason most Christians don't have power to live above sin and above depression and above discouragement and above sickness and poverty is because they haven't heard the true gospel. It's the true gospel that's the power of God. So he uses the word grace and gospel interchangeably in this sixth verse. And then in the seventh verse he says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And what he's saying here is, it's not like that they just totally rejected the message of Jesus coming and dying for our sins. But what they did, they just mixed something with it. They perverted it. They polluted it. And did you know it's actually harder to deal with a perversion of the gospel than it is a rejection of the gospel? If you had some pagan just come up and say, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe he ever existed. I don't believe he died for our sins. I don't believe he's a factor. I reject all of that. Did you know it would be easy to see the error in that? But what Satan does, instead of just total rejection, he seeks to pervert the gospel and say, oh yes, Jesus died for your sins and you must receive Jesus as your Savior, but you've also got to be holy, and God won't answer your prayers if you haven't been living holy. And if you've done this, God is punishing you with this. And he starts perverting and changing things. And a lot of people think, well, what's wrong with that? You can't mix any of your own righteousness into your relationship with God. It has to be based 100% on what Jesus did for you and not on what you do for Jesus. Man, that's powerful. And this is what he's talking about. He says it's not another gospel of a different kind. It's a perversion of the true gospel. And he says there are some that would pervert the gospel of Christ. And then he makes this statement in verse 8, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. You know what the word means there? It's the word anathema. It's used over in Corinthians. And basically, it's just saying, let him be damned to hell is literally what this means. That's a strong statement. That's a very strong statement coming from a minister of the gospel, from a person who wrote half of the New Testament. And people just are taken back. We aren't that bold today. Most Christians today are so politically correct and so afraid of offending somebody that they would never say something like this. And so I'm sure that there was people in Paul's day that thought, oh, this is too much. He couldn't have meant that. And so in the next verse, he says, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. In other words, just in case somebody thought he must not have meant what he said. Maybe I took it out of context. Maybe he was having a bad day or something. It was a mistake. He said, nope, let me repeat it and make this crystal clear. If anybody begins to start perverting the gospel, not just totally rejecting it, but just pervert it. Take the basic truths of the gospel and add to it all of your goodness and tell people that they also have to be holy and they have to do all of these things. If you do that, then let them be accursed. Boy, these are strong statements. And I know that there are many people watching this program that just think, boy, you're radical. What am I saying to you that wasn't said right here in the Bible? You know, there's a lot of people that just think I'm over the top, and that's because they're comparing me to other people who would never say anything that could offend people. You know, I've heard of a movement in the body of Christ that they are so afraid that by preaching on the cross and talking about Jesus, that this is offensive to the Muslims, that some Christian leaders who have written books that have been bestsellers, and I mean some of the leaders in the modern day body of Christ, are promoting Chrislam. That's what they call a combination of Christianity and Islam. And they're promoting all of this and saying that that is the way that it's supposed to be. Man, that's not what Paul is saying at all. Paul isn't compromising. And when you compare me to people like that, well, then you say, well, boy, you're radical. All I'm saying is what the Bible says. I've read Scripture to you. And if there is a perversion of the gospel, if anybody starts mixing with it other things other than the true gospel, then let them be accursed, is what the Apostle Paul said. I don't know how to say that any differently. You know what? There's some things that are worth fighting for. You know, I've just had some things come up. Again, I'm not going to go into all of this detail. I think that things are going to work out, but I just told my management staff, I said, you know what? If this is wrong, if the government is going to force me to do this and this and this, I said, I'll fight it. I'll go to jail. I'll lose this ministry. I'll do whatever, but I am not going to compromise. There's some things that are worth fighting over, and I will not compromise on that. And I mean that. Man, I'm not going to compromise on these things. And this is what the Apostle Paul is saying right here. He says, going back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 3, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. What a strong statement is that. Christ is become of no effect. Let's just forget that this verse says this for a moment, and let me just ask you a question. Is Christ having an effect in your life? There are some of you that are praying for healing, and yet you don't see any effect of it in your life. There are some of you that are praying for relationships to be restored, and you don't see any effect in your life. There are some of you that are praying for financial blessing, and yet you have no effect of it in your life. So let me just ask you, is Christ having an effect in your life? Some people say, well, I believe that as far as my eternal destiny, if I was to die, I'd go to heaven. But in this life, are you having the Lord impact your life? Is He making a difference in your life? I bet you that many people, I dare to say even probably most people watching this broadcast, if you were to be honest, would say He's not having an effect in my life, or at least He's not having the effect in my life that I know He wants to have. What's the problem? Go back again to Galatians 5:4. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. If you can look at your life and see that Jesus isn't having an effect and it's not making a difference in your life, I would say that in the vast majority of the cases, it's because you have mixed your own performance with the grace of God. You don't have a pure gospel. You have a perverted gospel to where you got started by salvation by grace, but now it's all about you being good enough and earning these things of God. And it's not that you doubt God can provide the miracle. You're probably praying for it, but you doubt His willingness to do it because you are condemned by your own conscience, knowing that you aren't everything that you should be. The good news to you is you don't have to be everything you should be. It's all based on the grace of God and your faith in His grace, not your faith in yourself, not your own righteousness, and not your own good works. God loves you unconditionally. Does that mean that you should go live in sin? No, because every time you do, you give Satan an inroad into your life. And if you're truly born again, you aren't looking for an excuse to go live in sin. You're looking for victory over sin. And it's the grace of God. It's understanding that He loves you and that all of His power and all of His ability is made available to you free of charge. That's what really gives you victory over sin. So I'm not condoning sin. I'm not condoning people living in sin, but I am saying that if you are preaching or if you are sitting under preaching that is saying, oh yeah, God has grace, but you've got to earn His grace. You've got to be holy enough. You've got to do these things. If you don't do what I'm telling you to do, you won't get your prayers answered, etc., etc. If that's what people are telling you, then that's the very thing that is stopping Christ of having the desired effect in your life. It's because you have fallen from grace. You know, many times that's interpreted that you lose your salvation, but I don't think that's what it's talking about. It's just saying that you have walked away from grace. You've quit receiving by grace, which is the only way that God delivers anything. He doesn't send anything through performance. It all comes by grace through faith. And if you get away from grace, God doesn't change His attitude towards you, but you change your attitude towards Him. And you stop the power of God. You plug up the pipe and keep the power of God from flowing to you and through you to other people. Man, these are powerful things that I'm saying. And I know that it sometimes makes people uncomfortable to think, you mean it's my fault? But to me, it's a wonderful thing to find out that you're the problem. Because if you're the problem, you can fix it. If God is the problem, and if God has just raised the bar and you gotta fast another hour, another day, you gotta read 500 more verses before you can get this answered. Well, then if God is the problem, you're gonna be frustrated the rest of your life. But if you're the problem, praise God, you can fix you. You can repent. You can turn and you can start receiving by grace. I tell you, these are awesome things. Thank you, Jesus, for these truths that He showed me. I believe that they're helping you. I'd like to encourage you. We're drawing to a close in this teaching on living in the balance of grace and faith. We're offering our fifth teaching in this album entitled God Loves Me Unconditionally. And this week will be our last time to offer these materials. So I encourage you to please listen to our announcer and then call or write and receive the materials. And then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
And there was this man on the phone saying, your husband's had a wreck.
I was in a head-on accident. I was told later it took him two jaws of life to get me free from my truck cab.
His ribs were busted, his sternum was busted. One hip was crushed and the femur was broken real close.
And the nurse had told my wife later, says people younger would die.
It was like Satan did his absolute best to kill my husband.
I chose to live.
Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left. Click on Healing Testimonies and take a healing journey with Ken and Virginia Wood.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is now available in a new paperback book for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. In addition, you can get this teaching and a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. This teaching was also recorded live at a Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fifth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD titled God Loves Me Unconditionally, free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Lewisville, Texas, Wednesday, November 9th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 10th through the 12th. He'll also be at Calvary Cathedral in Fort Worth, Sunday, November 13th, in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar, January 5th through the 7th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Caris Bible College Men's Advance, January 19th through the 21st. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
When Andrew and Jamie were young, they went to a conference on biblical prosperity. They desperately wanted to get the teaching, but simply could not afford it. Andrew promised God that if he was ever in a position to make his teaching available, he would never deny it to someone for lack of funds.
And that's what motivated me really to give, is the fact that he gives his stuff away.
Our hearts are just tied with what Andrew's doing, what he's trying to accomplish.
The partnership is helping do what I can't do.
I know that I'm a part of something so big.
And my gifts can help reach the nations and the people. Whoever has ears to hear, they will hear.